Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Those are the words that you've already read today, and you'll find them in Psalm 113, and you can open that if you like, although we will only make reference to it here and there. Today, our message is fairly topical, so we'll kind of be in other places throughout the Scriptures. But I turn you to Psalm 113 for this reason. There's a phrase in there that says on verse 3, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. All too often we live from the rising of the sun to its setting, and we never even think of the Lord. My parents wanted me to think often of the Lord, so on Sunday morning, my mother would put my dress, polyester pants on me, and she would load me in the car and my sister and my brother, and off to church we would go. But that always interrupted with my playtime. As a matter of fact, I knew that after church, my dad had a habit. He wouldn't let us change out of our dress clothes until after lunch. And we had to eat lunch, and then I had to change, and then I could go out and play. So to save time, in the morning when I got dressed, I put my old jeans on. Then I put my polyester dress pants on over my jeans, and that would save me all kinds of time. The problem was, as I sat in church, I stretched my legs out like this, and suddenly you could see those old ragged blue jean bottoms hanging out from the polyester dress pants, and my mother wasn't happy. So every Sunday after that, we had a habit when we went to church, before I would load in the car, she'd say, and I'd have to go like this to show her that I had one pair of pants on. Regardless of your age, Sunday mornings may be a time when family tensions and scheduling conflicts seem overwhelming. You know, and we view the Sunday morning church gathering here as a duty instead of a delight, we're on track for a weekly frustration. You see, the success of what happens here on Sunday mornings in our gathering, our public worship gathering, is greatly dependent upon the personal preparations each of us make beforehand. And it's crucial that we cultivate attitudes of worship even before we come into this place of worship. So for the next 3 weeks, as Pastor Adam has mentioned, our focus will be on the stewardship of corporate worship. And we're calling this mini-series Stewards of Praise, and that's what we want each of us to be, as stewards of praise. God has gifted us with the privilege and a responsibility of gathering for corporate worship. This reflects the character of a God, and it helps us clearly communicate the gospel of God. We want our corporate worship, what we do on a Sunday morning, to shape our personal worship that happens all week long. That's our desire. And so for the next 3 weeks, we want this to be practical, and we want it to be filled with helpful thoughts about worship. And here's a bit of a summary of where we'll go. Today, we're going to consider the question of how can you practically prepare for our hearts for worship each Sunday. And then next week, we plan to consider the essential elements of corporate worship. And then on January 22nd, though when we walk out these doors at noon on Sunday, we want to continue to worship. We want what happens here on Sunday morning to shape the way we live throughout the week. And we're going to talk about being nurtured in our worship gatherings, so that will continue even all week long. So that's where we're headed in this mini series. Pastor Adam led us even last week into some foundational truths from Psalm 115 about worship. And we saw that everyone worships someone or something. Everybody does. And God alone is worthy of worship, but we are all tempted to worship other things, other people. We call these idols. And that's a temptation that every single person has, is to worship something, someone other than God. Now, we can rejoice that God enables us to worship. He guides us to worship by helping us through His Spirit to refuse self-glorification. He guides us to identify and forsake the idols that have crept into our lives that we might not even be aware of. He guides us to behold Him alone as our true God. And He helps us give Him the glory above all other things. He, God, wants us as followers of King Jesus to become stewards of praise, not just in a corporate setting, but in a private setting of our lives. He wants us to be stewards of praise. And so today, I hope each of us will leave with some practical preparations that help us be awestruck by God's glory and His greatness. And may each of us leave here, walk out those doors, having cultivated hard attitudes of worship those hard attitudes that come into our lives that help us prepare to gather in a public place of worship. That's my desire for us this day. Because hard attitudes don't just happen, okay? Attitudes are formed by repeated, intentional effort. Attitudes take deep introspection and the Spirit's prompting to weed those things out. And so we want to do that today. We want to ask the Lord to help us. Even as we've already read it, and now I pray it on our behalf that may we praise the Lord. Father, may we, as servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. And blessed be the name of the Lord. From this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its setting, may the name of the Lord be praised in our corporate and private worship. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here we are this morning, second week of the year, and you're probably all already thinking about the things that you have to do today. Can we put those aside? And can we talk and answer the question, what do we need to genuinely worship from the rising of the sun to its setting? What do we need? How do we develop these attitudes? I'm going to call them attitudes that prompt hearts of worship. How can we develop those? How can we get those? And what are they? Well, I'm going to give you three today, and no doubt there are many more, but here's three. The first attitude that we need is an attitude of surrender. An attitude of surrender. That answers the question, who is my Lord? Who is my Lord? All of us have a Lord. Who is it? Who is my Lord? This attitude of surrender. You see, it's impossible to genuinely worship God if we live each day as if the world revolves around me. And one evidence of that demanding tone is a demanding tone that expects everyone in the house and everyone on the road to yield to my conveniences. Why, even this morning, I need to ask the question, what was my tone as I waited for my turn to get in the bathroom to get ready for church? What was my tone? Or between the church house and between my house, I passed one car today. One car. I live pretty close by. But you know what my tone was? That guy needs to get over. He's taking his half out of the middle. I was inconvenienced by one car that passed me today, and it annoyed me. I'm fearful that those types of tones that we have in our home or on the road, when we're in the driver's seat, those types of tones reveal, am I my Lord? Am I expecting everybody to kneel to me? You see, this is the attitude we're talking about. We need to have an attitude of surrender if we're genuinely going to worship. And ultimately, as I've already mentioned, the attitude of surrender towards God will be revealed in the way we interact with others. God, the way we treat others is often the way we treat God. You see, the Lord taught his disciples in Luke chapter 9, he said it this way, that we should deny his followers. Jesus' followers should deny themselves, and they should take up their cross daily and follow Jesus. Take up their cross daily. We're talking about a daily denial of self. It's a daily thing that we have to deny ourselves the right to be on the throne. It's a daily denial of self. It's an attitude of surrender that enthrones Christ and dethrones me. And I have to make that decision every single day. Am I going to be on the throne, or am I going to put Christ on the throne of my life? That's the daily denial that we're talking about that needs to happen. It's a daily discipline, too, by the way, that leads Jesus' followers to be prepared for corporate worship. It's the attitude of surrender, this daily discipline that means early to bed on early to bed on Saturday night so we can get up early to prepare for praise on Sunday morning. I'm not going to ask you what time you went to bed last night, but could it be that we're struggling to get up on Sunday morning, we're struggling to get ready on Sunday morning to come to corporate worship because we stayed up too late on Saturday night watching whatever it was? You see, I love the story of John Wesley. He often had guests in his home, but he would say, whoever the guest was, when they were gathered, he would suddenly get up from his chair, and he would say, well, it's 10 o'clock, and I must retire. I have an appointment at 4 in the morning with my Lord. That was his habit, I'm told, and as I've read on the story of John Wesley. You see, the discipline of early to bed and early to rise, this takes an attitude of surrender. And along with that early to rise, let's make it our daily discipline that the first words from our mouth when my eyes open and I start to gain consciousness, may the first words from our mouth be, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I had a friend that taught me that many years ago. He said the first thing he does when his eyes open in the morning and even before he puts his feet on the floor, he just simply utters, Lord Jesus, I love you because you first loved me. If you say that, if we say that in the morning first thing, that's going to change our attitude throughout the day. That's going to change things. And so it's a daily discipline that I'm talking about. We need to discipline ourselves in these ways. And we need to daily discipline ourselves towards self-denial. So the whole world, I don't expect the whole world to revolve around me. But it revolves around Christ. And I even need to submit to the others that are in my realm of influence. It's this attitude of surrender That leads us to a second attitude that we need to have as we come to corporate worship, and that's an attitude of humility. An attitude of humility. You can see how these are very much related. And that attitude helps answer the personal question, what's the direction of my life? What's the direction of my life? You see, if we're going in the wrong direction in our living, it will only lead us to the wrong destination. The sin of pride is kind of like cancer. It grows and it grows and it grows, and it takes some urgent care to deal with the sin of pride. All sin must be admitted and confessed and turned from, and that's especially true of the sin of all sins, the sin of pride. Well, in our preparation for praise, we must ask the Lord this question, and maybe this is part of your rhythm on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning, is to ask the Lord this question. I take it right out of Psalm 139. It's familiar words. It says, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me or test me, and know my thoughts, and see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see, each time we approach the church house for our corporate gatherings, this is a great prayer for you personally to make. I want our greeters to kind of be standing at the doors of the church house waiting because they see someone pull into the parking lot, but they don't get out of their car. Their car just sits there idling for a minute. And why is it idling? Because the person in that car, the family in that car, is calling out to the Lord saying, "Now before I go into the church house, will you search me, O God? Will you know my heart? Will you try me and know my thoughts and see if there's any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting?" Then you can open up, turn off your car, open up your door, and come into the church house. Can you see how a prayer like that, a genuine prayer like that, will help prepare us with an attitude of humility even before we come into this corporate worship setting? Ask God to reveal our sin. And then when He reveals it, be willing to do something about it. Turn around. Repent. Turn around. Turn from the devil and towards God. I think James, which is maybe the most practical book in the whole Bible, helps us with this. These words from James chapter 4, submit, there's surrender. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Text goes on to say, be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. That's what happens when we repent. We actually grieve our sin as we turn away from the devil and turn towards God. It's this grieving that takes place. And then verse 10 says, humble yourselves, therefore, before the Lord, and He will exalt you in His time. In His time. This is the humility that comes when we turn from the devil and we turn towards God, turning away from our sin and turning to go His way. You see, the preparation for praise means even before the preaching of the scriptures, even before the praying of the pastor, even before the singing of the songs, even before those, we need to ask God to work in my heart, to cleanse me, and acknowledge my inability to recognize my own sin, and open up your heart for Him to work in us. That's where we need to begin. It's an attitude of humility that sin is revealed, and then it's repented of. And there is this humility that comes not just in our relationship vertically with God, but horizontally with others. Do you know what the scriptures say about when we bring our offering to present it to God? the scriptures say in Matthew chapter 5, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift right there before the altar and go. And first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So there's a part of the preparation for praise that we're not just dealing vertically in our relationship with God, asking for a spirit of surrender and humility before God, but also a humility before one another. You see, if I have done something, and that's what this scripture is talking about from Matthew chapter 5 that we just read, if I've done something to offend somebody, something against them, it's on me. I've wronged them. Then I have a responsibility to go to them and seek that forgiveness. Now that's what I can do. You know, now if someone has sinned against me, I need to forgive them. That's a different issue. But the text here is talking about something I've done against them. Have I offended someone? I need to deal with that. I need to go to them. That's what this passage is talking about. The other is true, too, that I need to deal, if someone has offended me, they've sinned against me, I need to deal with that if possible, too. By the way, you might think, well, these are tough issues, these issues of reconciliation with others, because sometimes a person is not approachable, or possibly they're not even alive, or maybe you don't even know where they live. I can only tell you that I had this situation. The Lord brought a circumstance of someone I had offended years ago before social media. So I was trying to reach out to this person to seek their forgiveness, and I couldn't find this person. They had moved, no phone number, no address, didn't know anything. So what do you do? I want to apologize. I want to be reconciled with this person. What do I do? Well, it's a tough question, isn't it? And some of you can understand this dilemma. So here's what I did. I wrote a letter asking for forgiveness. I put it in an envelope, and I was going to mail it to this person. Couldn't do it. So you know what I did? I offered that letter to the Lord and said, Lord, I pray that this person will forgive me. I don't know where they are. I can't contact them. But I grieve the fact that I sinned against this person. So I took that envelope and I put it in a file folder. And you know I still have that sealed letter in a file folder to this day. No, I won't let you read it. And I won't even let my wife read it. But I know the one person that knows about that letter is the Lord. And I believe the Lord has forgiven me because I sought forgiveness of this person that I was never able to approach. This is tricky, isn't it? It's tricky. And our first responsibility is to deal with the reconciliation vertically, asking God for forgiveness, and work on these relationships. And those get a lot trickier than this, don't they? So if you're struggling with what this passage means and how this might hinder your worship because of a reconciliation issue with another person, we'd be happy to chat about that. Just talk with Pastor Adam or I, and maybe we can help you think it through. It's difficult. The point being, it takes humility to do what I just described. And that humility helps us prepare for corporate worship. It helps us. It's crucial that we have these humble attitudes of surrender before we come to Him for corporate worship. Can I give you one more attitude? So what was the first one, everybody? Attitude of surrender. Second one was an attitude of humility. Here's the third one. And again, there's many more. This one seems so basic, and yet I think we need to talk about the attitude of faith. The attitude of faith. You see, it answers the question, do I believe in Him? Do I believe in Him? Do I believe Him? Not just in Him, but do I believe Him? Do I believe in the Scriptures? That's the attitude we need to talk about. How do we How do we praise the one who we cannot see? How do I praise the one who I cannot touch, who I can't audibly hear with my ears? How do I praise him? There's some questions that we need to ask is, do you believe that God exists? That's foundational. Do you believe that the perfect Holy One, Jesus, the one you've never met, you've never saw, you've never touched, he died for your sins? Do you believe that? This is an attitude of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You see, faith is required for us to praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. It takes faith to live those words that we read. It takes faith. So if you have a struggle, if you're wrestling with faith, that you're not sure you believe in him, you're not sure you believe what he has told us and what he has promised, please reach out. We'd like to help you with that. All of us from time to time have doubts in our faith. But if doubts are overwhelming you to the point where I'm not even sure I want to go to the church house, or when you get to the church house, you listen to the preaching of the word and you say, yeah, but, if but comes often to your mind as you listen to the scriptures, we need to talk about faith. Do you accept God at his word? Yeah, but, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. We need that attitude of faith if we're going to be prepared for corporate worship. Well, these three attitudes, and again, there could be many more, the attitude of surrender, the attitude of humility, and the attitude of faith. Three attitudes. These are three attitudes that we need to cultivate before we come to the church house for corporate worship. So I want to give you some means to develop these attitudes, and they seem so simple, but let's face it, these are foundational. And the first one being we need to grow to cultivate these attitudes by meditating on the scriptures. Meditating on the scriptures. Are you passionate about the Bible? Or is it kind of dust covered this morning because really the last time you opened it was the last time we gathered for worship? Are you passionate about the Bibles? Or are you like the psalmist who said, oh, how I love your law, I meditate on it all day long? Which are you? Passionate or dusty? Which are you? We need to meditate on the scriptures. I would say, you might say, well, yeah, okay, I'm kind of new to this. Where do I even begin? How do I meditate on the scriptures? Well, meditating on the scriptures means just reading the Word of God and reading it consistently and regularly and rereading it and rereading it and rereading it. And you might even start with Psalm 1. We read Psalm 1 this morning in our ABF. That's a great place to start. Read a psalm a day. A psalm a day is a great way to begin to meditate on the scriptures. And don't just read it, but reread it. And let it kind of stew in your minds. Or you might even use the word marinate when you're marinating meat. When you marinate meat, it has to sit in that fluid a long time, doesn't it? And that's what the scriptures should do in us. It should marinate in our minds. It's meditating on the scriptures. And by the way, to prepare for the corporate worship, you can know in advance what the scriptures are going to be about this Sunday by subscribing to the weekly email update that we have. Do you know about that? So each Tuesday, the secretary, she's cute too, by the way. At least this secretary. I'd be careful because we have a substitute this week. But well, never go away from your notes, right? So the secretary, whichever it is, she sends out a weekly email update that gives us advance notice on what the text is going to be or where we're headed in the sermon. This is, so do you get that weekly update? Yeah, but I quickly delete it. No, don't just delete it. Read it and find out what the Sunday morning sermon's about. And if there's a text of scripture listed, find it, read it. Think about it ahead of time. This is part of that marinating, part of the meditating. And if you don't get it, how can I get that? I need that. I got to have that email, right? That's what some of you are thinking. Well, here it is. It's right in front of you. If you've got a handout when you came in, then rip off that bottom tag, put your email address on there. You know, you got to write it nice and good because email's not forgiving, okay? So clearly write your email address, put it in the offering box in the back, and we'll get you on that list. Very, very important. Or if there's a text of scripture that's coming on Sunday for your ABF, or if it's for a equip night, men's and women's equip, or for youth group, or for a Sunday school lesson, if there's a text of scripture, read it ahead of time. Marinate in it. Think about it ahead of time. This is what I'm talking about. This will help you develop those attitudes that prepare us for corporate worship. And along with the scriptures come the concept of prayer, is praying to the Father. Ask the Lord. I already mentioned, even in the parking lot before you get out of your car and come into the church house, is just to ask God to prepare your heart attitude for the time of corporate worship. And by the way, one thing that's been helpful for me, and I did this last year in 22, I had a prayer book, and every Sunday morning before I came here to the church house, I read a prayer out of that prayer book. That was helpful to me. I did that early in the morning. And why did I get up early in the morning on Sunday morning? Weren't you listening? Why? Because I went to bed early. That's why. You guys, we're going to have to go back now. Let me go back to that page of my notes. No, you go to bed early, then you can get up early, and then find something, prayer, that you can pray on Sunday morning. I did that every Sunday last year, and I found it very helpful. It helped get my focus prepared to meet with you guys to worship together. Now, this year, 23, one of my goals is to read a psalm every Sunday morning and pray through that psalm. So this morning, I read through and I prayed Psalm 2. And maybe you want to make that your pattern to prepare you for corporate worship, is to pray to the Father. I'm going to add one. Listening to spiritual songs. I don't know what your rhythm is in the morning as you prepare to come here. I can tell all of you did a little bit of preparation this morning to be here. I can tell. You didn't just get out of bed and come here. I can tell, at least most of you. And but here's one for you. So when you're getting ready, when you're in the shower, which is a good way to start your day, is get in the shower and sing worship songs while you're in the shower on Sunday mornings. Warm up your voice while you're in the shower. Sing some of your favorite songs of praise. Sing them loud, so loud that your family and neighbors will want to quickly join you in praise. Sing. And you think, well, I'm not much of a singer. I would make the neighbors cringe and my family insulted. Okay, well, find something on your mobile device and your Bluetooth speaker and listen to that while you prepare for Sunday worship. And occasionally even our worship team, our musicians, give us songs in advance that come. You might find those on our social media, Facebook, and we can give you those ahead of time. That helps prepare you for the Sunday worship. I might add Another one is to just read about God throughout the week. We read a lot of stuff, but let's do some reading about God. And I've got three, four books here I brought along. Some of you are familiar with The Valley of Vision. This is a great prompter. If you read Valley of Vision before corporate worship, your heart will be heading in the right direction. Other books, Does God Care How We Worship? Real Worship, How to Worship Jesus Christ. And my guess is some of you have your own favorite worship books. So just to read books about God throughout the week will help prepare our hearts for corporate worship. And that's just a sampling, but there are many more. Can I give you just one more? One more, it's not in your notes. But I don't want to miss this opportunity to give you a little bit of a talking to about just getting outside. Some of us live inside too much. And there's something about being outside, getting some good fresh air that we... What was that, David?
Amen.
Amen. We spend too much time inside with stale air. We need to get outside where the fresh air is. And I know that God, His handiwork is evident wherever we are. I realize that even in this room, we can see God's handiwork all around us. But when we go outside, there's something refreshing about seeing God's handiwork. Why, the heavens declare the glory of God. I bet some of you didn't even know it was full moon this past week, did you? That's a crime. That's a crime that you lose track of full moon. Not because I worship the moon or the creation, but I'm here to tell you, when I'm out under a bright full moon, I don't worship the creation, I worship the one who created that moon. That's an amazing moment. And so you guys need to hear this, because we live inside too much. We need to get outside. Right, David? That's right. We need to get outside. I believe that even time spent in God's creation, worshiping the Creator, helps prepare us for corporate worship. Well, I'm looking at the clock, and you are too. Don't you wish we could forget about the clock when we come to corporate worship? But we can't. But I do want to give you a couple of preparations for next week. Now, you're going to be here next week. Some of you aren't because you're visiting today. But those who are, here's your homework. You got a pencil? You better write it down, because there could be a pop quiz. Okay? Number one, we want you to review these scripture references that we've talked about today, and hopefully you've got those from the notes, the scripture references. As an individual, as a family, take those scripture references that we've talked about in brief today, not in great detail, but just brief. Take those scripture references. In preparation for praise, ask God to use those scriptures to reveal your heart. Test me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So do some review. That's part of your homework. And then the other thing you want to do this week is your homework is you want to preview. Preview. So you want to review this week's sermon, but we want to preview next week's sermon. And Pastor Adam, are you going to have some scriptures mentioned in the weekly update? Good. So there you go. So part of your homework is, if you don't get the weekly update, you're going to subscribe to it, and you're going to make sure that the secretary gets you on that list. And we're going to send you information about next week's sermon, and you're going to preview those scriptures. You're going to begin to think about that. You're going to get a jump on things for next week. That's so important. All this helps us become stewards of praise. The Lord doesn't just make us worshipers. He changes our heart. Yes, As a matter of fact, that's the good news, that Jesus Christ enables us to worship. Because at one time I thought nothing of God and I only thought of myself. But in His goodness, God demonstrated His own love for me in that while I was a sinner, Christ died for me, a sinner. And He's in the process of helping me to conform into the image of Jesus. This is happening in me. I want you to understand that the becoming a steward of praise is a process that we're in. And even as we begin to sing, and music team, you can make your way to the platform, we're going to be singing a song about the heart of worship. We want each of us to develop the heart of God that seeks me to worship and glorify Him as the greatest, the great, my Creator, my Lord, my Master. That's what we want for each of us. That's why we gather here each Sunday. And so will you close your eyes, and together, before we sing, we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God that the words, praise the Lord, won't just be words, but they'll be an attitude of our heart. And that we, servants of the Lord, we will be servants. We will surrender ourselves to living for You. We will praise the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. This is my desire for us as a congregation this morning. Father, from the rising of the sun to its setting, we want the name of the Lord, Your name, to be praised. So help us and teach us to become stewards of praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.